We are in studio with Leanne Callaghan, founder of Huey's Corner in Carndonagh, Olive Morrissey, who's a child and adolescence counsellor, and we were chatting to Clodagh just before the break. Clodagh used the services 17. She got Lyme disease, and it took many, many, many blood tests and talking to different people before she spoke to a doctor in Sligo that recognised it was Lyme disease. The traditional route of going to see Dr. Lambert didn't work for Clodagh, but thankfully she did try a different treatment and it is working for her, and you are quite literally back up on your feet. But at that time, obviously, firstly, it's not nice when you're being told that what you're feeling is not what you're feeling, right? That's really difficult to deal with. We talked to the loss of your lovely grandparents and aunt, I think you mentioned, okay.
I lost my auntie young, yeah.
Then you're out of school and you're not mixing necessarily with your peers, or you feel different to them. That's an awful lot for a young mind to process. So talk to me then, you engaged with Huey's Corner, and what was that like?
Yeah, I kind of engaged with Huey's Corner. Just kind of part of me that was grieving an old life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't the same person as I was before I got sick. It was a lot on me as a person, and for my own mental health it was a lot. So I found Huey's Corner and the team was lovely. They were great. They kind of helped me get back on my feet and helped me make decisions that I didn't kind of want to make, but I did. They were helping a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, and I'm sure it was the case with you, we can have really supportive people around us, but sometimes you need an external set of ears and eyes to sort of contextualise things, and you can, you know what they're saying is purely, you know, because we try and say the right things right at times, and sometimes, you know, we might not.
Totally.
And so from there, you were able to sort of build back. Was that coinciding with your improvement in physical health, Clodagh?
It was a mixture of both, yeah. I was kind of getting better once I was in Huey's Corner. I started treatment before I went into them. So I kind of was doing both at the same time. So I was rebuilding my life, sort of, so to speak.
Yeah. An awful lot, as I say, for a teenager to take on. You missed out school, I presume, as well.
I did. They wanted me, they said I could come back, but I would have to do fifth year again.
Okay.
And that would make my friends all ahead of me. And I just didn't feel like that was the right space for me at that time. So I've decided to drop out, and I went into tech then to do part-time courses.
Brilliant. And how's that going? I have no idea of the timeline because I don't know what age you are. You could still be 17.
I'm 18 now.
Okay, yeah. That was
a year ago
now. I know, because I feel like we're talking about, this has been such a big part of your life, but it's kind of really, really recent for you.
It was nearly a year ago now, yeah.
But so you're just studying in a different way, and that's going well for you. I think you've an interest in beauty, do you?
Beauty, yeah.
Fantastic.
Doing beauty now, yeah.
All right, and you're feeling good?
Yeah.
And staying on top of that stuff. That is brilliant.
Tough, yeah.
So how would you rate in terms of importance Huey's Corner services for you?
I wouldn't be the person I am today without them. They help me a lot for my mental health and my physical health. Definitely needs to get the word out more publicly and
brilliant.
Let people know it is there yet.
What a fantastic advocate you are for it. Olive, it goes to show, you know, the different complexities that young people come to you with, and you have to be able to adapt the service and sort of make sure that you're hitting all the right boxes, which you and the expert team are, of course.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the beauty, isn't it? I have a nursing background as well, Greg, which is always useful because you really are looking at the young person holistically. You know, Claude is a prime example. You know, physical health is impaired and her psychological health becomes impaired.
And I presume the recovery from one can, in some cases, and I think in your case, Clodagh, can assist in the recovery from another.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And then, just from a personal perspective, when you do engage with a younger person, Olive, and you see them coming around, or you see their improvements, and maybe they come in the next day with a smile in the face where there wasn't one the first. Personally, the work you do is very, very important. And I hate when sometimes people that do this type of work, it's called a vocation because it's like we should get it, you know, for free or something like that there. But it must be incredibly personally satisfying for you as someone who's clearly a caregiver.
Absolutely, Greg. And I'd say it is the part when they start to smile. And I mean, that can take weeks, you know, especially a young person that's really not in a great place when they start. But to see that change and to come in and have changed, and that gives me great hope. And I suppose it's the message I always give to parents. Whilst it's difficult where they're at the moment when they make that phone call and they engage initially, it does get better.
And also, Leanne, and I think you referenced this a little earlier on. When we try and deal with something ourselves as fully grown adults, you know, often it can be a struggle, but, you know, we kind of are in control of that, or we know where we're at. It's incredibly difficult when you see one of your children struggling, because you feel helpless, you feel powerless, you feel isolated, and you want to take everything from them and take it to yourself, right? I'll take what you're feeling on me, even though I'm probably at breaking point myself. And that's what this service does, doesn't it? It eases that load on the parents. It's fantastic that we've got the likes of Clodagh doing as well as she is, and with her eyes on her future and everything. But it's the people around the young person too. And you know, obviously, that because this is why this all happened in the first place.
Yeah. As I say, for us, I find my young people at the time didn't want to talk to me because they didn't want to hurt me, you know, and my husband. So they felt like bottling it all up was the right thing at that point. And, you know, it's never a good thing to do.
But born from love and care and a maturity, exactly, obviously, themselves.
And that's, you see that a lot with teenagers. They don't want to open up to their parents. Do you know what I mean? So even across from bereavement on, you know, you see that with young people. They would rather talk to someone outside of the house. But, you know, it's the importance of the service there, and knowing that, you know, as a parent, you can reach out and get that support as the parent as well, mm-hmm. and the young person for, you know.
In terms of bereavement counselling and counselling in this space, I don't think there's ever a right or a wrong time. It depends on the individual. So how do, I mean, obviously the sooner the better, but I'm just conscious that maybe there are people who, 3, 4, 5, who, I'm not timelining it, that still are feeling that. So what age cohort do you work with, Leanne, and how do people get in contact with the services, or how does that work? Because I'm not sure what your capacity is like either for that, mm-hmm. for an example.
We work with 5 to 18 year olds up to Brilliant. The age of 18.
Yeah.
And they ring the pastoral centre, and that is how they get through to us. That's how they get referred mm-hmm. to the Cairn Donagh service in the Hughes Corner.
And in terms of capacity at this time, do you have space or...?
I'm not sure.
I think the waiting list is fairly good, Greg. We're getting in there nice and early.
That's the phraseology I was looking for. We're getting in nice and early,
and that's the key.
And you can balance the people that you're working with, I presume. Okay. Right, listen, it's been really interesting. I've loved to get to know you a little bit and hear your story, Clodagh. And I'm actually, it's lovely to hear when someone's not been in a great place. Yeah. And now here you are. You look great.
Thank you.
You've got your eyes on your future, and it's brilliant. Yeah. And this is what services like Hughie's Corner can do. And I'm sure, no, Leanne, I asked Olive of the satisfaction in seeing, you know, young people come through the service and improve. And I'm sure too, you and you get that as well.
Yeah, it's very important, Greg. As I say, that's why we're still there 5 years later with no funding, and we will continue to do that. We are growing stronger, and we've a lot in the pipeline. Again, it's that passion for young people's mm-hmm. most.
And also your beautiful son as well. Yeah. His name is part of this as well, and that's something very important as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all three of you, thanks very much for calling in. Sorry for holding you on a little bit, but I just wanted to hear more from Clodagh and Leanne and Olive as well. That was Leanne Callaghan, founder of Hughie's Corner. We heard from Olive Morrissey, who's been in with us before, Olive, who's a child and adolescent counsellor, and Clodagh, who's availed of the service really quite recently, and things are working really well for Clodagh. And the reason we spoke to Hughie's Corner, A, you don't need an excuse, but it's to try and get the word out of some of the fantastic charities and organisations we have in this county helping people, funding. You know, a lot of the work is providing the counselling and the services, but an awful lot of work is actually keeping the bloody thing going, fundraising and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, it's mm-hmm. a different string to your bow you have to have as well. And I'm sure you've got a core support to help with that.
Yeah,
but we're trying to help with that. It's part of our 35th birthday celebrations on March 14th. And now, right now, you can donate, and we'll split anything that's raised between... I was going to say Leanne, Olive and Clodagh. I was literally, it was just accidentally on the tip of my tongue. I was looking at the wrong piece of paper. No, the Blue Stack Foundation, Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, and Hughie's Corner. So get your tickets right now, get as many as you like or you can afford, but only obviously within what you can afford. And also then on March 14th, we've got €9,000 prizes to give away as well. It's a big thank you for your generosity. And we'll learn more about Donegal Cancer Flights and Services and the Bluestack Foundation in the days ahead. But for now, girls, ladies, from Huey's Corner, thank you so very much indeed. I'm so excited to talk about the Donegal Partnership's role in Women in Sport Week 2025. I'm speaking over the ads. There's some fantastic stuff coming up this week. This afternoon, there's an ATU taster session where you can climb walls, you know, wall climbing with the sticky out things and all. The pickleball and relays, that's at 3. On Friday, there is a sunrise dip at Rathmullen Pier at 7 a.m, which is bright now, which is great. On Saturday, you can try yoga and a dip at Coldaff Beach at 7:30 a.m. There is also an open water dip at Thropany Pool Bundoran at 7:45 p.m. And you can try fly fishing. Why is it mostly men that fish? I don't know why. It shouldn't be the case. It's fantastic fun. Mungari Trout Fishery at Deal Community Anglers, they're hosting a taster session to come and try fishing. That's at 12 noon. And then on Sunday, there's a taster of horse rising at the Drum Doit Stables. And there's sessions there at 11, 12, 1 and 2. And you can get more information and book, in fact, at Eventbrite. So check out the Donegal Sports Partnerships socials and website, and they will get more information. My guest today to help talk about this and to recognise women in sport in association with the Donegal Sports Partnership as part of Women in Sport Week 2025 is Sinead Gibson, park-run director and volunteer. How are you getting on?
Good, thanks, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad. And before we came on, you said you'd prefer to sing than talk. So we're scrapping the chat. What are we starting with?
I'll sing a song. No. Well, it's funny because when you said the run director there, that was what I found most difficult when I became run director in Letterkenny, was the pre-talk before, you know, the safety talk before the run.
Okay, yeah.
But I would sing. I'd sing a song anyway.
You get up on the stage in front of 1,000 people, anyway. No problem.
Yes, yeah.
But it's the comfort zone thing. This, to me, I find really quite manageable. But see, on Sunday night, we had I had to present a few awards, and my watch told me that my heart rate had been too high for too long and to do an ECG.
Yeah.
So it's just
good,
about
though.
Your comfort zone.
It is good
zones.
To challenge yourself as well.
Well, I'm only able now to... I feel now I'm only able to challenge myself. It was impossible when my anxiety was at its peak. It just simply was impossible. But with working through that, I can now enjoy the challenge of it and...
Yes.
Lean into it, you know, flight or fear, and strategies. The high heart rate is excitement. It's not, I'm not about to keel over with a heart attack. Do you know that sort of way?
Exactly.
But I had to work on myself to get to that position, and hopefully it stays that way. If I stop doing stuff like that, you'll know I've had a relapse. Right, okay, so the park run. What is the park run? Because this is a little bit like our previous conversation. It's someone's life, right, if they love it. But for others, it's like, well, is that for me? What's
Absolutely.
That all about?
Well, first of all, it's for everybody, all abilities. The park run was set up, and I suppose it's so important that we're speaking about women in sport. And it was set up, this event in Letterkenny, by two women in 2016, Anne McAteer and Margaret O'Donnell. And it, in my opinion, it's the biggest wellbeing event held weekly here in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free for all families, for all abilities. It's not only a social event where you can meet and talk. There's a cup of tea every other week in the vestry afterwards. But it's just, I feel, for your mindfulness. You can walk. There's no competition. You can, if you want, you can check your time at the end.
That's not a 2016, it's 2025 now. There's not very many things that have that longevity.
Absolutely.
Why is that then? What is it that clicks with people that they go back and then feel they have to go back and back? Because, you know, a lot of times we try something and then we move on. But this longevity is astonishing. Strength from strength as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Well, for me, I'm a teacher, but on a Saturday morning, I get up and I do the park run. It elongates my whole weekend.
Yeah,
I get more done, and you know, the endorphins kick in, and I have teenagers too. And the hardest part of the park run for me is getting them up and into the car.
Mm.
And it's a quiet car going in, Greg, but on the way home, you know,
everyone's
chatting,
full of,
the mood has changed, they're all full of... So it's for all. And I suppose all abilities, and you know, people like to run, jog, push a pram, walk. It's just a lovely, and it's if you want to go on your earphones and not talk.
Yeah,
you know,
but,
there's no pressure.
We are, and we don't want to lose sight of this. We are social beings. Humans are social, and we need that social interaction, because we know the problems of rural isolation, for example, or urban isolation for that matter. Yeah. We are social creatures and we need that interaction, and this is a great opportunity for some. And I think too, as an example, single mom, no family structure, how do they get a bit of exercise and to meet people? They can walk the
pram. A cup of tea, a coffee
or a dad
afterwards.
For that matter, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
And not only that, but you get the feel good factor as well from volunteering. Because I don't know, like you see people, you're encouraging them along, come on, you're doing great. And you know, there is just that great feel. Like, and with the park one as well, I suppose it can't run without volunteers. That's the other important part. And if you can do your 8 or 9 runs or walks or whatever, and then volunteer the 9th or the 10th week, if everybody did that, it would run smoothly.
Did you, was your motivation to sort of throw yourself into this driven by having a couple of girls? And talk to me about that process, or what was going through your mind?
Well, I suppose to become the one director, I suppose I went through all the various volunteering roles, marshals, pre-setup, post-setup, timekeepers, all of that first. And then there weren't many female run directors there. I suppose it's predominantly male. So I just felt I have 2 daughters myself. I'm always encouraging them to go for this, that and whatever. And, you know, I really have to lead by example. So I said, I'll go for it. I'll try it. And I love it. And I still get the butterflies when I have to speak. But it's good butterflies, you know, afterwards. But I love it. And you get a great feeling of satisfaction. And I mean, if I can do it, I feel like there's lots of women around Letterkenny that can easily do it. You know,
step in,
and you don't have to become a run director. You don't have to do anything. You can volunteer. You don't have to commit to every week. That's the beauty of it. So, you know, family pressures, maybe next month won't suit at all, but you could come back in and out.
But this type of event understands the complexities of life,
absolutely,
doesn't it? Because, and you know, we've been talking about women in sport, and I'm not sure if it's this county, if it's my attitude or a national attitude, but, you know, like, are there other countries with, you know, such amazing leaders, like, say, for instance, your Mary Coughlin and your Sinead Breen's here in the GAA. You know, we've seen Chloe blazing a international trail on the badminton courts. We Katie Taylor literally is the woman who launched women's professional boxing. You know, in athletics, Kelly Harrington, Katie McCabe, our own fantastic 4x100 meters runners, 100 meters runner McGraw, the Lady McGrory, she's my neighbour from Lahey. I'll get to it in a second. But my point being is that, you know, your daughters, and if I had daughters the same, they've got a lot of
role
women
models
to really genuinely look up to, that have achieved so much on their skill, dedication and merit. And you as well, in your leadership role with this project.
Absolutely. We have on a national and a local level.
Kelly McGrory, I beg your pardon,
sorry. We have plenty of female leaders, I suppose. But I suppose even yesterday on the radio, I heard that still the senior management roles in all organisations in Ireland is predominantly male.
That is
so
the elephant
still,
in the room, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I still think it's important, even as a teacher myself, as a mum, as a, you know, a run director, whatever it is, whatever role you play, it is still important to encourage the young women to, you know, put themselves forward
and to work
these roles
alongside men.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? This
absolutely
is not about a takeover here. This is about equal representation.
Absolutely.
And the best people of both genders in the best positions.
Yeah, and even for for women, for well-being, for all. Now, this is for all. Park One is for everybody and all abilities. But for a walk, a quiet walk, you know, that's the beauty of it. And you're saying, how has it gone on so long? You know, it has gone on so long because it's a well-being event, I feel.
But also, too, these things don't happen by accident as well. It's to keep the momentum, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's to keep, if there's a lull 1 week or a lull because of a global pandemic or whatever it might be, or weather, it's to, you know, to keep...
Get it back.
Exactly. And that's a big role that you would have, I presume, in your team as well, to make sure it's popular and relevant.
Yeah. And at the minute, say, Val Cronin and Seamus Murphy are steering the ship. So they're kind of the event organisers. And then there's a team of run directors underneath them, and we take it in turn maybe to lead each week. And you try as well to get more and more volunteers on board. I suppose that's what you need to keep this going, is you need volunteers all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, equal representation would be wonderful.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It would be wonderful.
And again, sometimes, and I don't get it, and I don't understand it, sometimes men get threatened by that, right? But a lot of the guys that are in these positions would welcome, because it's not necessarily that people aren't selected. You also have to put yourself forward
you
as well,
yeah.
don't you? You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? You can't be elected head of an organisation unless your name's on the ballot paper. And
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's not. So, you know, this is about, and there's many fellas involved in a lot of these organisations that say, right, come through, we'd love
yeah.
to work alongside you.
Yeah.
Not everyone, but I'm sure,
yeah,
you know, this is
yeah.
not a man
yeah.
versus women. This is about everyone being represented. So I suppose let's talk about people getting involved in the park run then.
Yeah.
And how do you, because I often feel the first step of something is that you put the barriers up yourself. I won't
yeah.
know anyone.
Yeah.
I won't wear the right clothes.
Yeah.
I'm not as healthy as the next person.
Yeah.
We do this, right?
Oh, you do.
We
yeah.
do it to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't need people to put us down sometimes.
No,
so
don't
talk
even,
to those people.
All of those things. What I would say is come along this Saturday. This is International Women's Day on Saturday. Come along, all families, men, women, children, all ages. Wear your tracksuit. Just wear comfortable runners. Come along. At 9:30, you get a pre-talk. It'll explain the route. It's three kind of circuits around the park. And afterwards then, every other week now, I'm not sure if it's this weekend, we'll have a cup of tea in the vestry. But you'll be given a token when you come on the finishing line. You can give your token. There'll be a person collecting them. And then afterwards then, you can check online if you want to see what time you've... You know, that's not important if you're not there for
but
the
it can
competitive...
But important.
But
even
people,
if you're walking,
yeah,
right?
But even if you want to say next week... For example, like last week, I walked with my daughter and I got chatting to this man that I know kind of fairly well, but didn't know as well. But I was chatting to him and his first time he ever did it, it took him an hour and a half.
Right.
And now he's getting around in half that, you know. But the first time he ever did that was an hour and a half. And he built on his fitness. He's 110 now under his belt, you know, park runs.
I thought you said just that he was 110.
110 park runs.
I thought you said his age was 110.
Volunteers.
I was going to say,
if you're 110, Greg, you're welcome.
100%. I'm not far off it, I feel sometimes. But yeah, because you can set your own, and it is your own personal goals, because
yes.
you accumulate how many you've done. That gentleman's done 110, remarkable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
privately, for your own benefit, even yeah. if you're pushing a buggy, you push it
yeah.
this week, an hour and 20.
Yeah.
Maybe you say, right, I'll do an hour and
yeah.
10 next time. You know what I mean? It's just all it shows is that yeah. you're increasing your effort.
Yeah, and you've tail walkers, so you've people always kind of encouraging you to keep going, you're doing great. It's just a real good, feel-good feeling. And so come along on Saturday. Be there around 20 past. I'm saying that now, and sometimes I'm running down at 29 minutes past down the steps. But come along and just see what it's about. It's very easy. I suppose, as you said, the hardest thing is just getting there. Once
yep.
you're there,
yep. Yep.
you'll enjoy it. Mm. And you don't have to commit to doing 10 in a row. You can come maybe the next mm-hmm. fortnight. And get your family with you. Get the whole crowd out. It's a lovely start to yourself.
And you made a great point earlier on about how elongating the whole weekend, because it might get you out of your comfort wear.
Absolutely.
Which other people call pyjamas. I call
yeah.
it comfort wear.
It does.
But you know when
out.
It starts
yeah.
the day.
It really does.
Because most
really
of us are up anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's just motivating
yeah.
ourselves to do so. Sinead, it's been lovely speaking to you. I get you in the next time to sing. But I wanted to speak to you with your park run director and volunteer hat on. And continued success for it.
Thank
Get
you.
Out there on Saturday. You know, it's so welcoming and open and accepting, regardless mm. of your exercise or your fitness level or anything. Just get out and meet other people. And you can chat to them or not. It's completely
Absolutely.
Up to you. It's
Absolutely.
Very few things that really you have so much control over yourself. And also check out that other list of events that are running, the Donegal Sports Partnership. Check it out. They're marking Women in Sports Week 2025. Sinead, it's been lovely having you on. Thanks
Thank you,
so
Greg.
Much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you calling up. And we'll have another person, another guest, another woman, in fact, tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that already. Okay, back with more today after this break. And then there's a fantastic buzz around the radio station. And as I said, there's been a kind of like a sporting theme running through the show. We've had the park run, we had darts, and now we're going to speak about Ladies Gaelic Football, because the Ladies Gaelic Football Association Congress 2025 takes place in Donegal this Friday and Saturday in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny. And we've got a number of guests, the current president, Micheál Nocton, completing his 3-year tenure in the role. Good morning, Micheál. Thanks so much for calling up.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
Michelle McInnes, the secretary of the LGFA. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to see you again. And Joanne McKinney, Chair of the LGFA. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
What has the 3 years been like for you, Micheál? A really, really big job, especially in a sport and an organisation that is, I think, trying to, you know, develop and move forward and progress. It's been an exciting time for you.
Yes, Greg, it's been a huge honour for me personally and that. And when I came into the association, you rightly said it was a 3 year term. I mean, but I mean, we changed it to a 4 year term. So I've done four years. I mean,
I beg your pardon. Sorry, Micheál.
No, you're okay, Greg. I mean, a lot of people would think it because the GA is that way. But going forward now, basically, you know, people could have gone for a second 3 year term, but it's a 1 year term now that we passed that. But I mean, our association has been growing year on year, and that, I mean, you know, it's basically, you know, 50 year celebration last year at our association. You know, what the work has been done, I mean, and see our membership grow to over 204,000 this year. I mean, you know, it's been growing year on year. I mean, but that's down to our volunteers and, you know, the amount of people that we have working on our grounds and in our clubs and in our counties, and I mean, you know, that never get recognised but are there on a daily basis, basically giving back to the young kids of this country. It's just unbelievable, and that's what made our association what it is today.
For years it felt like, or was the case, that the ladies game and the men's game were siloed. Okay, I think one of your ambitions was to sort of bring that somewhat closer together. Do you believe you've done that? Is there still a bit of work to be done in that regard?
Yes, Greg, we have been working on that. I mean, you know, over the last 2 years, a huge amount of work has been done. Mary McAleese, ex-president of Ireland, is the chair of our integration committee. I mean, you know, this year was the first year that a GA or a ladies president spoke at the GA Congress. So that was another step on integration, and I was delighted to be that person. That, but I mean, there is work to be done. I mean, I really think that basically going forward, you know, in the new one association, that the ladies association keep a part of autonomy, that basically that we have our own identity, because we have built an association that we are very, very proud of. And I mean, and I think if we all work together and strive for the one, because it's the same people in the clubs and in the counties that are doing the work and is involved, because if my daughter is involved, it's her brothers involved with the men. I mean, it's the mums and dads that are involved with the clubs, so the same people are involved. Yes, of course, I mean, there is a, you know, a little bit of a fear there probably at county board levels, because we see what it costs to run county teams, and that is a big issue. And I think, you know, in the GAA circles, you know, the men's association are standing there and they're looking at, I mean, will the ladies have to get the same as we're spending on men's teams? And it's not that way, but I mean, we're all working together, and I think basically based in the one association, we can be bigger and stronger together, both nationally and internationally, Greg.
Yeah, for sure. I'll come back to you, of course. Joanne McKinney, Chair of the LGFA. It's a big one, isn't it, the Congress? It's great that Donegal's hosting it.
Yeah, we're very honoured to be hosting Congress this year. This is my third year to be part of Congress, and it's a big event in the LGFA calendar. And obviously it's a tinge with a bit of sadness with Micheál stepping down, but we know we have a great president in Trina Murray coming in for the integration that's coming through in 2027. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to this weekend.
A lot of pressure too, though.
Pressure's for tire, Greg.
Of course, indeed, yeah. And we had the men's Congress up here recently, and it was fantastic to see. I think the media coverage of these events has gone through the roof now. It's fantastic because this is an association of the people, and I think it's great that we have, you know, even if we can't attend, that we know what's going on and hear from the key figures. And I think that's brilliant, and I hope it's the same over the weekend. What stands out for you over the 2 days, Joanne?
It's the people, really, Greg. The people coming from all over Ireland and overseas. The commitment that they give, you know, coming in, and there's a great feeling, there's a great buzz around Congress. It's very important to have everyone there and make the changes that need to be made. You know, it is a lovely experience. It's very hard to describe unless you're part of, you know, as I say, I came in as a delegate 3 years ago. I didn't really fully understand what I was getting into, but you know,
that was good. That's how they were able to drag you in, you see.
But they're very welcoming, and it is very well run, organized. You know, the whole weekend is very well organized, and we're very lucky to be hosting it this year.
Yeah, for sure. Micheál, what's the role of the secretary in the LGFA?
I think that's the biggest role of the whole lot. Joanna probably and Michael will tell you that. So the county secretary basically...
Well, they're not contradicting you.
24-7 comes to mind.
Suppose I'd be the heart of the whole organisation, and every county secretary is staying in the county, so you're the person that operates everything. So everything comes into you, and you put everything out and you're organising. And
do you love it, Marisha?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Because you have to be... It's the type of job that you have to have a certain attitude and skill set to, because it could be overwhelming otherwise.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. I love it. And I'm inclined to kind of take on everything myself and don't want anybody else to help me, but I've learned now to delegate and let other people assist me along the way, you know. But it is a big role, and it's very proud to be in that role. This is my sixth year. I should have been kicked out last year, but I'm still there.
It's like the mafia. You try and get out and keep pulling you back in. Isn't that right? Why would they get rid of you now?
Yeah.
Do you know the ropes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but obviously it's something that you didn't need your hand twisted too much. It's obviously, as you say, something that you love greatly. What have you seen over the last 6 years? Have you seen much change and much development?
Yeah.
It feels to me as an armchair fan that the sport's growing. You know, at club level, a lot of competition, great attendances at the games. Yeah. At national level, we had some great days out with the Donegal ladies. Yes. And now it's kind of exciting to see their evolution into maybe the next the next version of the Donegal ladies team.
Yeah, so our growth would have been, since this last 3 years, we've grown 65% in Donegal.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, so that is, we have a great county register as well, in Tara Walsh. So she ensures every girl from under 8 up to senior ladies that are registered, and are Gaelic from others and others. So, but our game's growing all the time. We're providing games now for under 8, 10s, 12 girls, go games. And then we're providing all the fixtures from 14s right up to senior ladies. Like, so that's growing. So we run different county challenges and blitzes and stuff like that, you know, too. So, but no, I think... And we have loads of new people coming on board as well, because some of the men that would have been involved in GAA have realised that their daughters can also play football. Mm. So they're all getting involved now as well and being trained up in LGFA rules, and our referees are very committed to us as well. Like, you know, so the whole, it's a big operation, like, you know, but it's one that we thoroughly enjoy.
And Joanne, it shouldn't surprise me, but it kind of did. And I noticed just the few games that I attended is the depth of the squads, if you know what I mean, at club level. You know, sometimes they could field two teams. Now, there's no reason why that shouldn't be the case, don't get me wrong, but it's still, I think it's a great sign, isn't it? Because that's where, I mean, obviously the work starts younger than that, as Michelle was pointing out, but when you can continue to engage people as adults, and then hopefully they feed into the sort of the county squad, it's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, Greg. There's a lot of great work going on in clubs, and when you see the numbers coming through with teams, you know that there's a real positive buzz in those clubs. And girls, they wouldn't be there really if they weren't enjoying it. Mm. You know, a lot of it's not just about the football. For girls, there's a social aspect to it.
We have fun too.
Yeah.
Michal, can you just move forward slightly for me, just towards that mic? Thank you so much. Go ahead, Joanne, sorry.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of clubs are taking the level up, you know, and girls thrive on
that. The expectation level is higher, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fitness levels.
Everything.
There's an expectation that everyone's given their absolute 100. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... there was maybe an opinion out there that, you know, it's only a girls' game, like, it doesn't matter, but that's going, you know, it really does matter now. The girls really want to work hard and play hard. They really do want to do well.
Even as a casual fan, I do see a tone change.
Absolutely,
In it. But that comes from success often and hard work, right? But success on the pitch, Michal, it's really important as well, doesn't it? Because, you know, if you have your county squad doing really well, or your local club squad doing really well, young girls in the case of the LGFA, they want to be that next superstar,
Exactly, Greg. And, you know, and that's what I would say, you know, on a daily basis to our players. I mean, they're huge ambassadors for our sport, and by them out there and, you know, let big clubs or let big county teams doing well. I mean, it gets people involved. People want to be part of it. And, you know, we see it even at the moment here in Donegal with Jim being back and the GAA. You know, it lifts everybody. And the same now, you know, we have a new manager in with the ladies. I mean, and these new girls then want to make a name for themselves. They want to be the next ambassadors for female sports in Donegal. And we have some, you know, excellent girls coming through in that minute. You know, that's what makes our sports, you know, it's our players, I mean, out there basically making recognition and bringing along the young generation.
Are you in any way a little bit disappointed or frustrated, Micheál, in that, you know, you had your 3 years, you got the extension to that, there's probably other stuff that you feel that you want to work on? I know you've probably got amazing faith in the person coming behind you, right? But that's for the media. Yeah. But in your own self, are you a little bit frustrated? Oh, I'd love another year or two at this, or have you feel your work's done at this point?
Yes, I mean, you know, you always feel you'd like to do more on that. And, you know, unfortunately, probably like in the Ladies Association, the president basically, you know, is not a full-time role. You know, you still have to work, and that's something that you look at. But, I mean, that said, I mean, you know, probably, I mean, I would like to see more people attending our games. And that's an area that we'd work on. And I think, you know, a lot of people would talk.
A lot of that down too, though, and I don't want to get controversial here, is some of the scheduling is absolutely crazy.
I was just going on to that.
It's like, sometimes you don't want to have to choose between O'Donnell Park and McCool Park, but you think, like, God, this is bloody disrespectful.
Yes, and, you know, that's something that we're looking at, and that's something that we've been discussing about in relation to integration. If you look at the moment, like, we're sitting here basically with the National League meaning nothing because basically teams don't want to be in it. There's no break. If you look at our All-Ireland hurling final at the moment, there's no break. You go straight into your football. Then you go into the ladies. So, I mean, you know, if you look at last year, you had Galway, they're in the GAA final, they're in the Camogie final, and they're in the ladies final, and you're asking people to attend. I feel that definitely we have to look at our schedule. I know next year the GAA are looking to put their finals back maybe to the end of August.
We have an appetite to see as much of this as you can. You know what I mean? We want to. It's the support that what the public want is figure it out, lads and ladies. Yeah. We want to be able to attend this stuff. We want to be able to watch stuff at different times on the telly.
100%, Greg, and I'm saying that. And our association, we're looking at maybe, you know, moving our finals back to September, because we felt, you know, in September kids were back at school, you were going in, you were getting the promotion, kids were going back to their families. I mean, it was a big occasion. We're missing all that basically PR because we're all fighting for the same media shots. We're all fighting for the same coverage. We're all fighting for the same pool of supporters, and you know, we have to look at that for the betterment of our sport, because if we take 6 months of the year and toss everything into that, well, unfortunately we'll be lost to other sports.
And the best way to resolve that is actually in collaboration, isn't it, Michelle? It's in collaboration between the men's games, the women's games, the different disciplines. It's not about banging heads in public, which you aren't doing, don't get me wrong, but it is about saying, right, logically here, this suits everybody.
Yeah, so in county, and say, like, our club games, we would work very well with the men's board. Mm-hmm. So we have ours in the morning, the men's in the afternoon, so we can go to each other's games. But when it comes to the county games, they're set by National and Ulster. So your time's set, and we have to go with the time that they set. So, like, for example, last Sunday, our game was set for 2:00. The men's game then, like, so some of ours couldn't get to the men's game because they were on, and that's, and like, we, like myself and Joanne and Micheál, we go to all the men's games as well. So, like, you know, but that's set by National. But inside our own county, our club games, we have that well managed. Like, you know,
and in fact, there's a certain element of cooperation, even inter sports, sometimes as well, because we do all right locally on that. But as you say, nationally, I suppose, are there any emotions that jump out for you, Joanne, this weekend that you think is really important that you'll be keeping a particular eye on?
The adult safeguarding is the big one. We'll be hoping that that'll go through. It's very important that is followed.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, it's following in line. The GAA passed that motion there, their Congress there a couple of weeks ago. So we'd just be following. It's very important. It's in line with the white ribbon.
Just the right thing to do at the right time. I get you. Micheál, is there any motions that particularly you're interested in?
And that, no, Greg, I mean, you know, the one thing about our association, we can bring our rules in and change them every year, as you know, our playing rules and at Congress. Now, I know in the GA, basically, their playing rules only can be changed once every five years, I mean. And now, our CLAR this year on motion, I mean, is not as big as it would be usually other years. But, I mean, overall, I mean, you know, that there is some interesting motions there and that. And, you know, I know Dean Donegal has one in basically looking at a system register and that. So
that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Yes, yeah, the stuff that molds the future of the association, not necessarily headline stuff, right?
Exactly. So I mean, you know, there is motions in, and I mean, and you know, we have ones maybe about playing rules and that. I mean, there's only a few of them in this year, which is not as many as other years. But overall, I mean, there is some good motions, and there will be some interesting debate over the weekend, and that's what National Congress is about.
And it's also good for people to get together.
Exactly. Members, and you know, you're networking with each other, and I mean, and each county gets to meet with one another and look at how they do things and what we can do better as an association, because it's always about learning and trying to improve where you come from and make sure that you're looking to the future as well.
And Michelle, can you enjoy it?
Can I what?
Enjoy the weekend? Or
oh, yes, I'm one of the...
In other words, you're not run off your feet all weekend.
Run off your feet. We have a Congress committee too now. We have one formed and they're very good. But myself and Joanne observe and oversee everything. But no, I'll be there all weekend. And
see that thing about delegation, right?
Yeah. No, we're there all weekend. We'll be very hands-on.
And kind of also do it.
We'll be very hands-on, so we will. Okay. So.
All right, Michelle, it's lovely to see you and speak to you. Thank you very much indeed. Councillor Micheál Nocton, of course, but current president, congratulations on your 4 years. There's so much that you've been present at, some amazing memories. I suppose I'll ask, what is your greatest memory of the 4 years?
And that, look, I mean, I just chatting to the girls outside. I mean, you know, ask, you know, would you be happy or sad going? Of course, I mean, you know, the ladies of Suffolk Association, where we have come from. I think All Ireland final day in Croke Park. You know, going out there, basically introduced to the teams. I mean, you know, it's a huge, you know, day. It's a huge day for our association.
It's the pinnacle, isn't it?
Exactly. It's the day that, you know, you're so proud of where you come from. And see girls out there and get to an All-Ireland final and what it means to them, to their clubs and to their families. It's just a huge, really special day.
Back to management now.
Well, I mean, you know, definitely, I mean, not in the near future, but maybe down the road.
One of our interviews with the councillor, he refused to rule it out. No. All right, okay. Between that and senators and God TD, we don't know what's going on with you, Micheál. You just wouldn't need to. I don't know where you're going to be in 4 years. That's the thing. Okay, and listen, Joanne McKinney, chair of the LGFA, hugely important and a great role to have as well. It's a great honour, isn't it, to head up an association that you're so passionate about and is going through a period of development and growth. It must be personally very satisfying for you.
It is, yeah.
And tough, obviously, but.
Yeah, it has its challenges, definitely, but I've been involved in the county board for many years. Micheál was in the chair at the stage. A number of others, very good chairpersons, were in the chair, and I never imagined that I would end up in the chair someday. So I am very honoured to be in that position, and obviously being female and in the ladies' chair is very important for young girls out there playing the sport as well. And for those not playing the sport, there's a role for everybody in the association, yeah. Whether you're playing or, you know, whether you're an admin person or, you know, it's important that girls know that.
And Saturday is International Women's Day in sport. Mm-hmm. So it's all happens sometimes by coincidence and sometimes by on purpose. Michelle, thanks so much. Michelle McKenna, Secretary of the LGFA. Plenty of free time if you needed to do anything for you. not. Joanne McKinney, Chair of the LGFA and outgoing President. Micheál Nocton. When do you hand over the baton? Is that during Congress?
Yes, it's on Saturday after lunch. Greg.
Okay, so pints in the clannery at what time?
About.
about I don't think you fully heard what I said.
All of the pint, Greg, more than welcome. But again, I just want to wish the incoming President Trina Murray all the best. Yeah. I mean, she's a Westmead lady. I think, I mean, our association being in good hands, and we just want to wish.
And I think if she were here, and I wouldn't dare to speak in her behalf, she might say that. You've laid some fantastic groundwork for her to build on going forward as well, which is how it works. That's the way it
works. Exactly. Okay. I just want to thank both these ladies and Donegal County Board LGFA for the work for them this weekend and all the support, and it's great to see two ladies here beside me running ladies football in Donegal.
Micheál, Joanne, Michelle, three of you, thank you so very much indeed. Busy, busy morning, wasn't it? And unfortunately, we are going to chat to Chris Ashmore, presenter of our podcast, Business Matters, on the show tomorrow. But it's not unfortunate, actually, because it means we get to speak to him longer than rather than having to squeeze anything in. So the Business Matters podcast is available for you right now, as always, on a Wednesday. And Chris is going to join me tomorrow for a bit of chat about business news and tell us exactly what's coming up on the podcast tomorrow. Just changed it a little bit.